Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the nutritious channel. We're going to talk about a lot of good stuff today with my guest because, you know, the topic of today is kind of like a very interesting topic. I love it personally, but it ties into how our body works with food and nutrition. But really now we're going to talk about the lack of, or maybe the deprivation of, maybe a concept that helps the body kind of re-triggers itself and do better for its own and kind of reset and trigger all that good stuff that probably be missing. And I'm being a little suspicious here because I don't want to give it all out, you know. So with me, I have Chris James. He is the founder of A Healthy Alternative. They're discussing fasting. And fasting is fascinating for anyone who has not experienced fasting. It's going to sound weird, like, you know, fasting is a cool thing. Well, fasting is a very cool thing. I mean, I know a little bit about it, but today we're going to talk about an expert, you know, from a health perspective, from a nutrition, you know, and how the body works. Because we refer to this all the time, folks, but we don't really get a deep dive into, I mean, we hear intermittent fasting and all that. But so Chris is going to bring us closer to this topic because this is the work they do, him and his team. So, Chris, welcome to the show, dude.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, man. I'm looking forward to talking about fasting and anything else.
Well, fasting, I mean, health, right? I mean, that's why I talked about a health channel, the nutritious channel, the FinFab. You know, these are all channels that are really about your health and wellness in general for us, right? And your work is the same. I mean, you have a great YouTube channel where you put a lot of resource, a lot of work out there for people. You're going doing this work, you know, sharing it, you know, with platforms or podcasts all over because you see a value in the work you do. And actually, there is value. As a matter of fact, I've done quite a few shows, a lot of talks, and I do my own research. And fasting has been an amazing tool for people enhancing their health and their wellness overall. But a lot of people are like, you know, some people say, well, fasting is religious for those Muslims guys, you know, because that's been the tradition. Oh, actually, it's funny because it's not even for Muslims. I mean, all cultures, you know, from history have some sort of form of fasting. That's just the misconception, I would say. But the fact is, it's been a lot more now in the media, in the discussion, on the table as a healthy option, if you want to think about that. And someone's like, Hurricane, what's healthy but not eating? You know, well, so we got to get all those myths out, right? So Chris, before we get into the deep dive and the nitty gritty stuff, let's talk about just your journey that got you into this. I mean, I'm sure there's something. You didn't grow up, you know, hey, let's just do fasting, right? There's something that got you into this work and not only just doing it, like really taking it on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. But once again, I appreciate you for having me on the channel. And, you know, the idea that religions and different cultures of people fast is 100% correct. So fasting is actually a tool that it's innate. Even when we look at nature and we look at animals, they don't have religion, but they fast, you know? I remember in school hearing about bears and how bears would quote unquote hibernate for months on end. And I just thought that was the most curious thing. And then when I started learning about fasting from a health perspective, I realized, wait, they're fasting. That's what we're just calling it hibernation and all of that type of stuff. But for me personally, when I was probably about 9 years old is when I very first started fasting. And that was purely for religious purposes. I was raised in a traditional Baptist church and we would fast once or twice a year for spiritual enlightenment and just being closer to God and things of that nature. And so I didn't really understand the true benefit of fasting until I got sick. So this kind of brings us forward to kind of how I created the Healthy Alternative Wellness brand. But basically, I had just moved to Dallas, Texas, and I was working in an environment where we didn't have a lot of air circulation. It was hot. It was basically like an oven. I was working in a warehouse. It was like an oven. And I was doing heavy lifting, manual labor, and I thought I was drinking enough water. I thought I was eating well. I was working out. I thought I was taking good care of myself. I was probably like 28 at the time, still young. And one day I got really, really ill at work. I basically started to like, the room started spinning. So I'm like, what is going on here? And anybody who knew me knew that I never called off work. I didn't leave early. Like, but I had to leave early to go home because like, I knew something was really, really wrong. So over the, it just so happens I was working overtime. So it was like over the weekend, I was laid up in bed the rest of the weekend, just honestly thinking that it was my time, like I was going to die. Like that's how bad I felt. And I called my mom. I'm telling her what's going on. And she's like, oh, Chris, you know, try this. Maybe, because I told her it, I maybe it was like vertigo or something. She's like, maybe your equilibrium is off. Maybe you got wax in your ears. Clean your ears out. So I'm doing everything she's suggesting. Nothing's working. And finally, she was like, hey, maybe you're dehydrated. And I was just like, there's no way that what I'm experiencing is from dehydration. Like, there's no way. But I started drinking water because I was always raised to go the holistic route. My grandmother was a holistic practitioner. And so I really didn't want to go to the hospital, and I didn't. But I'm like, hey, I'll drink this water. Maybe I don't got to go to the hospital. So I started drinking, and within a couple of days, I was better and I was fine and I was back at work. So I ended up realizing, okay, I was dehydrated. But that taught me something unique, because I literally thought I was going to die. And it was just as simple as I was dehydrated. So now fast forward, I'm still in the trade. I'm an electrician. I'm working in the field now. I'm not in the warehouse, but I'm around these guys that are all between 5 to 20 years older than me, and all of them have chronic issues. And yeah. I'm like, man, why is everybody so sick? People, one guy, his prostate was messed up. Another guy, his back was like all curled up. And I started noticing my own problems, thinning hair, memory issues, fatigue. And I was just like, I'm not going to go out like them. So I ended up getting laid off from work. And at that time, I had the option to either go and find another job or take some time off. I decided to take about 8 months off, and I studied natural health and wellness for 8 months, like day and night. We're talking 10 to 16 hours. And on the other end of it, I had all of this knowledge. And then I started fasting. I changed my diet, and I just turned my whole life around.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, so let me just go there. Well, first of all, it's amazing the example of what happened to you specifically about water, and that's actually very common for people. They think they have enough hydration, and we're not taking. I mean, there is a statement that everything is come, you know, water is like the source of life, right? And everything in us, we're like 73-75% of water, you know, as a humans, right? And so that percentage is core to our, you know, survival and vitality and motion, everything. And you're right. So if you're working in the heat, I mean, you're basically depleting all that water fast. Your cells are just, you know, starving, and that's it. I mean, not for food, but for water. And they're just kind of like collapsing on you. And so that kind of, that became a problem. And again, you kind of did your thing. You went back and you rehydrated. You were good. But then I love what you said about the, and by the way, so the point I was going to make there is that, folks, you got to take care of your water no matter where you are. You may think that you have enough water. There's a lot of talk about water. There's even diets that are water diets, right? But you got to be careful. Too much water can be a problem. Little water can be a problem. You got to know what that mix is. And there's so much stuff that I heard about it. And we're going to ask Chris to tell us more what may be a good formula. But you have to, because there's depletion of nutrients that also can happen of stuff. You know, there's all kind of stuff. You can overwork your kidneys. I'm not a doctor, but just what, you know, what I've been getting from experts, you know, is a lot of stuff. So you do your due diligence and stuff. But again, water is the source of life. You need to have it. You know, you can't just go without it. Otherwise, you'll feel the effects of it. Even in your skin, your hair, as you said, there's many things. But I want to tie that into what you said. You're right. I mean, today, we are not healthy overall. I mean, in me included, no matter what we do, there is you feel that there's something missing because of the type of nutrition we have, you know, where we get our food, the chemicals, the toxins, the environment. I mean, we're surrounded with bad stuff all around us. And you know, even though, like, for example, you had a holistic approach in life in terms of, you know, your family stuff, you know, there's still impact. I mean, you're working out there, you're going to eat junk, right? I mean, that's just the standard, you know, for all of us. We work out in the street, you're going to, you know, grab things quick, express food, right? Fast food, just get in, shove it, move. most of that stuff got no nutrient, you know, impact, you know, zero, or just bad toxins, bad coloring, bad stuff, which we're now finally, we have a little bit of awakening out there. And there's a lot more talk about this. And it's becoming a lot more of a topic of the hour. Even the FDA just, I think they announced recently, you know, that they're removing some of those colors that were there. But I mean, that's just maybe like the, not even the tip of the iceberg. That's like a little speck, you know, in the spectrum of really the big picture and the problem, right? So we get all these things that are happening to us. And we don't even understand. I mean, I've had great, you know, guests that talked about, you know, such as yourself. You're going to talk a lot more about this today. But that talked about the idea of literally working in this world of nutrition with, you know, almost no education. Because let me, you know, the doctors, for example, you know, I was told, and, you know, you may correct me because you have probably more knowledge on this, but I was told from many people that even the doctors themselves stated that they don't get enough nutrition education or diet, you know, education in their med school stuff. Now, again, it could be just a, I don't know, some portion. I mean, there are different schools, right? You know, but I'm not going to judge. But the fact, even if there is a percentage, that means these percentage of doctors that graduate from these kind of institutions may not have enough knowledge about it. Therefore, they may not even inquire about what this. And what I found out from different discussions is that people don't ask about your diet. It could be just your diet that's causing all the problem. I mean, we have diabetes. It is related to nutrition. Blood pressure could be also, you know, nutrition, magnesium, and all these deficiencies that we have. You know, do we get enough, you know, minerals? I mean, I heard there's over 60 plus markers and, you know, between minerals and stuff that we need to have, and we probably not getting them, right? So I want to hold that thought there, but you're right about what you said. You've noticed people aging faster, having all these problems, pain, aches, you know, the gut, the whole thing. They're not feeling well. They have no energy. All those are pretty much things that are experienced by many of us. And actually now it's even getting worse, because even the younger folks now are getting that. I mean, it used to be like, these are like chronic diseases. You get them when you're in the 70s and 80s. Now, I mean, you got people in the 20s and 30s are suffering, right? Because of all the influx. I mean, our people, our grandparents didn't have the same problems we have today. Let's be, you know, clear about that. So now you discovered that. And I would just to touch on one more thing, and then it's all yours. The other part that you said is very important. Like, you know, so you got laid off. It happens to a lot of us. And frankly, sometimes, you know, there's good and the bad, as they say, right? You know, it's a philosophy, right? You know, there's bad things that happen. We don't know why, but they happen for a good reason. And sometimes you look at that, as you said, fast forward, like, wow, if this didn't happen, this would never happen. And what happened to you? You took the time, you know, to kind of find yourself, reset yourself, do some learning. And that's the other thing, you improved your skills. So I just wanted to throw in, because I always try to get nuggets, you know, that's the other thing, opportunity, folks. You see an opportunity that to improve your skill, whatever it is, or adjust your, I guess, range of, you know, knowledge and skills and move to a different area. Maybe it's a dead end before, now it's not, it opened up, and it did. I mean, you started a whole new movement, a new wave, you know, and you're doing the work, right? So it changed the dynamics. So I wanted to first to congratulate you for doing that, but also for our audiences, if you feel stuck, folks, you know, I mean, we have thousands and thousands of, you know, examples that come across us that sometimes will be like, well, maybe you need to hear the story to see, like, maybe it's happening to me now. And therefore, don't lose hope. You know, just figure yourself out and you'll find it. So that I'll hold with that. So now you discovered, you did your education, you became who you are, and you started this wellness thing. Now let's talk about, what did you discover in terms of our nutrition? I kind of mentioned a lot of bad things about our nutrition, but really, what is it that you found about the way we ate, the way we consume, the nutrition pieces, and then, you know, why fasting specifically?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I discovered, you know, it's interesting. One of my taglines is that my goal with the Healthy Alternative is to help people navigate all of the pitfalls as it relates to nutrition. So as you mentioned earlier, when we go to mainstream medical practices and we think we want to go there to get healing, what we are actually doing is we're going there for treatment. And those are two different things. So that was one of the first things I learned, is the difference between healing and treatment. Healing is about finding root cause. What is causing your overall dis-ease? Treatment is about managing symptoms. And once we understand that we are going to our mechanic for legal problems, then we switch the professional that we're working with, right? Like, when it's very clear and it's black and white, you know, okay, I have a flat tire, I need to go to a mechanic. You know, oh, I got pulled over, I need to go to a lawyer. With the traditional health industry right now, it's convoluted. We think if we get, you know, stabbed or cut and we have it, we need a stitch, we got to go to them. But also we think that if we have diabetes, we need to go to them. It depends on what you want, right? And so what I would say is the first question you need to ask yourself is, what do I want? Do I want healing or do I want treatment? And depending on which one you want, which it's not a right or wrong thing. There are some people that want to take a pill, right? Because what I teach is lifestyle change. So it takes a lot more work to manage and change your lifestyle and change habits versus just being able to take a pill. But when it comes to diet and nutrition, it is a very deep rabbit hole because, okay, the first thing that you're going to hear is, okay, you need to eat more fruits and vegetables, or you need to eat lean meat, or you need to start counting your calories. And like, there's a lot of traditional wisdom. If you want to lose weight, calories in, calories out. And there's so much nuance in all of that. That's why people get confused about diet, what diet's good. What then you have the diet where you can, you know, get your blood tested and eat for your blood type, right? There's all these different ways to eat, and it's super confusing. And really, I think it needs to boil down to something that's very natural. Like, what's natural? So I do this exercise with people, and I'll ask them. I say, hey, you're in a jungle, okay? You've been blindfolded. You're flown across the world. You're in a jungle. You have no tools. You don't know where civilization is. You literally are naked. You just have your hands and your eyes and your ears, right? And you, in front of you, you have a pig, right? Well, just your traditional pink little pig you see at the farm, and then you have a mango tree. So now I'm asking you, which one do you go to eat? Which one makes the most sense to you? Like, using your senses, and if you want to, you could play along. Which one would you go for?
I would go with the mango, but so, you know, I mean, I'm more into that kind of concept of, you know, I think it's healthier as food, but I do get the idea. Like, to your point, I mean, if you are starving and you need your protein, I mean, mango is not going to do that for you. Protein is important for you. So, I mean, there's that. That's a very good question, and it's a tricky one. Depends on who you are as a person. But really, it is like for me, I wouldn't go there. I'll go to fish if, you know, I find some fish. But I mean, there's, but you're right. It's the first thing that in front of you, right? But so go ahead. Yeah.
Well, see, so the point is, right? You said mango, and you probably have maybe some. You lean more that way, so you feel like, okay, maybe that's, but everybody I've asked, they always say the mango. And I'm gonna tell you why. You mentioned fishing. Okay, if you have a skill set where you can go and find the sticks, and you can you find a rock, and you can sharpen it, and you know, all of these things, and you can go and fish. But in order to eat that pig, you're gonna have to create some tools, right? You don't have the fangs, you don't have the jaw strength, you can't just bite into his flesh. You have to catch him first. So now you're expending energy to try to catch him. And then most of us want to cook it. We don't eat raw pig, right? So you've got to be able to build a fire. There's all of these things that you need, all these tools you need to eat that pig. Whereas with the mango tree, number one, it's low hanging fruit. Literally, it's vibrant. It's going to provide nutrition, sustenance, water. Okay. You have all the tools you need to bite into it. If you want to peel it, everything you need, you can get that mango right now. And you could fill up on tools and stuff. You could do that. The thing is, when we're given an opportunity, or we're put in a position like that, our natural instincts are going to take over. So even if you don't like mangoes, you're going to eat the mango. It's literally the low hanging fruit, right? Our body is designed. Maybe you're not in shape. Maybe you can't catch the pig. Maybe you don't know how to create a trap. There's all of these different things that we have to do in order to get that pig, whereas the mango is just sitting there. It's sweet. It's water. You eat the pig, you're going to be thirsty. There's no water. You don't know where you are. You don't know what, you know what I'm saying? So I believe that when we go down to the least common denominator and we look at what makes the most sense, when you look at a mother, right? A mother just birthed a child. The breast milk is sweet. Sugar is something that our body needs. So you get the sugar from a mango as well. And I think at the end of the day, we overcomplicate the whole nutrition thing. So we need hydration for detoxification. Like if your cells are inflamed, they're not hydrated, the toxins are not getting out. We need hydration. As you mentioned, we're 70%+ water. We need it. It makes up all of our body, the fat, the brain, everything. And, at the end of the day, what's got the highest water content? Like what food has the highest water content? It's fruit. So fruit is a basic fundamental food that makes sense. Now, I know about the carnivore diet and I know about other diets and things that are available to us. We live in a modern society, but at the core, if you even if you look at like low glycemic fruit, because I know some people are like, oh, the sugar. The sugar from fruit is digested by the body and metabolized different from like white granulated sugar. So that's two different things. But you can even go with low glycemic fruit if you want. Cucumber. There's almost no sugar. It's like bell peppers, very little sugar. There's plenty of low glycemic fruits that are great for everybody. And so what is good to eat? I think that. And then, of course, we can go deeper into, organic versus GMO versus conventional. And I don't know how deep you want to go into that.
Well, no. There's great stuff there. And I mean, listen, this whole exercise you did is an awesome thing. I mean, by the way, you caught me there. I mean, I wanted to address the idea of the protein piece because, you got need that. But you really hit it right there. I mean, obviously, the first instant I said the mango, because to your point, it's sweeter. It's going to give you the energy boost and whatever you need, and you can get a couple of them so you can sustain. You're right. The pig is not just going, hey, take me. I'm cool here. And just whatever you want, grab a bite. Right? It doesn't work that way. So you got to hunt, right? So it is different. But you're right. It is in real life. We have the same problem. We have a lot of choices. I mean, you go to a supermarket. We have a problem. I mean, you got a lot of bag stuff that you're talking about. How deep we go? I mean, that stuff is all based on in a lab. It's all made in a lab. I mean, for the most part, I mean, every aisle that's in a box, a product that's in a box or in a jar or in a can, it's a good chance it was kind of processed somewhere with a lot of stuff to put it in there. And that shelf life is 2 or 3 years, sometimes even 10 years. Things don't go bad. It's bad for you. In nature, we don't have that problem. Really, you can eat it live. But even nature today has been destroyed because mankind is mankind, right? We kind of destroy, more than what we can, produce good stuff, right? Sadly, we've destroyed our soils. We've put in all those chemicals, all those Roundups and things that are being now discussed in media. So we have a lot of problems there. But you're right. there's different, type of, and by the way, I love what you said about, the sugars is different, for example, when you have from fruit, because the way it's fructose and the way it operates and in the body compared to, what do you call it? Like the real glucose that comes from, by the way, granulated sugar to me is not real sugar. I mean, that's not how the sugar is in nature. I mean, that's actually processed and it's really a drug. I mean, it does look white too. So I'm just, no pun intended, folks, but it is a drug. And if you get used to it, you will want more of it. And now they hide it with, I think I heard there's like 200 names for sugar, that they cannot. So you get a sugar content and you get all the other carbohydrates and all, and their dad, that's all sugar as well, corn syrup and you name it, and so there's a lot of tricking that's been happening in our food system and we have problems. And by the way, the concept that you said, like if you were actually, we all go back to nature, we all will probably be healthier. Because we will definitely have better choices. And yes, if we do want to get the meat, we're going to work for it. So actually, we're going to burn some calories. We're going to put some muscles, So it's going to be like, these people that lived, in back in the days, they really got up and worked. I mean, we sit all the day now. I mean, most of us are sitting behind, a desk, a computer, doing some work in an office. Maybe we get a half hour if we're lucky, to at the gym or maybe walking. I mean, and maybe not many of us, you talked about, people that you work with, maybe they were working with their hands, but still, I'm sure that there's a lot of downtime when they go home, whatever, they just couch and TV and hey, let's flip, on a Netflix channel. You said a key word earlier, lifestyle. Our lifestyle sucks as a humanity today. Most of us, I would say. Obviously, some people have been awakened and they're awake and they're like, oh, what the hell happened here? We got to do something about this. And they do it. They're changing themselves, such as yourself. Not only change yourself, making this a word for the world, really, as spreading the message and some good guidance, you know, as to how to do this and maybe what the best way to do it. So that changes the dynamics. So I think I've went deeper, you know, in that hole with you here, but certainly go whatever you want, because, you know, you have a lot more insights as to what those areas are and how we can prevent them, you know, so go for it.
Okay. Well, you know, once again, back on the topic of like the pitfalls, right? So you start changing your diet. The first thing you're going to do, start reading labels. If you do research on the labels and you know, the ingredients and the different certificates or certifications that are on these labels, you'll start to learn that a lot of what you thought you knew is wrong. Meaning, if it says non-GMO, that's a certification. It doesn't mean healthy. It doesn't mean good. It's a standard. There's a standard set by the FDA that you have to meet in order to get that certification. All of those things can be, you know, kind of cheated, or like it doesn't mean healthy. So you can go to your grocery store and you can get the non-GMO stuff. You can get the vegan stuff. You could get all these labels, but they're not necessarily what you think they're going to be. Also, when you start reading the label and you see all of these weird terms and weird words, stuff you cannot pronounce, you'll find they're all chemicals. They're all synthetic chemicals that are usually, like you had mentioned earlier, they're stabilizers. So, you know, they want the food or whatever, the food stuff to be able to stay on the shelf for 2-3 years, 10 years. A lot of it is for coloring. You know, mm-hmm. They use psychology against us. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but like a lot of the fast food chains, the colors they use for their branding are very specific. Yeah, like yellow and red create hunger and appetite. So if you think about some of the most popular fast food chains, they use those colors, yellow and red.
All of them. I think all of them.
Like all of them, right? It's not by coincidence. It's on purpose. Now, on the other side, you can also use, there's a color blue, a shade of blue that sates you. And so you'll see in camping equipment, people will have like blue, little tiny saucers, blue saucers, and that's designed to sate you, so decrease the appetite. So they use these tools against us, which is why you see all these crazy bright colors in the food. It's designed to get you addicted to the product, give you dopamine hits, so you come back for more. I think you had mentioned earlier, when you look at the white granulated sugar, which by the way, there is a narrative out there right now that white granulated sugar is good for you. And while I cannot dispute that there may be some beneficial features of consuming it, the narrative that it's good for you and you should eat it is just crazy. But that I literally just saw a video where somebody was talking about that. But they use sugar in food. In foods you never even think, like, why is there all this sugar in the bread and the pasta and things it would traditionally not be in? It's because it's addictive, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things we learned very early on was that when they studied the brain, a brain that was on cocaine and a brain that was on sugar, it would light up the same areas of the brain in a similar way, showing that there was a congruency between taking this sugar, this food, and this hard drug, what we would consider a hard drug. And so there's an addictive aspect of the foods. I used to, when we growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And so, you know, we would use like antenna TV, you know, like the antenna TV, right? And so we only got a couple of shows, but one of the networks we got, like we would get reruns of Seinfeld all the time, which like, it's weird. Like, I think it's a hilarious show, but in one of the episodes, Kramer was one of the main characters. He's acting and he's at this scene. He's at the bar and he's supposed to eat this pretzel and he's supposed to just say, these pretzels are making me thirsty, right? And anyway, it's a funny episode. But when I think about that episode, when I saw the episode, it reminded me that they will use different minerals, if you want to call it that, different synthetics in the food to make you consume more of the product. So for example, there's a very popular water company that has been known to put salt in their water, not at a level where you can necessarily taste it and perceive it, but they'll put these minerals and these salts and stuff in the water so that it actually makes you more thirsty, so that you don't get the hydration you need from the water. Because why? They want you to drink another bottle. And so this is the type of stuff that's going on, which is why I decided that, you know, ultimately I was like, you can get really frustrated and upset about all this, but really you just need to be intentional about where you get your food. You know, shopping at the grocery stores that are like small local grocery stores, maybe they import from farmers markets or local farms, or just going to farmers markets. That's a great option. Or just growing your own food. And that's why I started my garden, because, you know, as I was like probably 5-6 years into this journey, I realized if I really want to control what I put in my mouth, I'm going to have to grow it, because then I know it's not got the pesticides and all the craziness in it. And you can put the intention towards that. You don't have to do it now, right? It's all about baby steps. But eventually you could just put in your mind, you know what, one day I'm going to start a garden.
No, you know, it's amazing. By the way, that is the right way to do it. And I mean, maybe the majority of us live in metropolitan areas, so it's a little harder, although there is some vertical planting and, you know, indoors, you know, stuff that you can do for some basic stuff. But really, it is the dream. I mean, if we can all, you know, have some sort of a little backyard, you know, piece or some plants that are in that can sustain us, that would be the ideal. So it's just, but you know, the alternative is to go to your farms locally, especially in season. I mean, some states are different. I mean, obviously we're in the States, and this actually shows worldwide. So we've varied, you know, around the continents and where we live in this blue planet, right? You know, we have different parts of the world. Some people have sun all the time and they can do a little bit more and they have more, you know, ability to do these things. Some countries have less of what we're talking about here in terms of the addictives and the all these things, the add that are in our foods and stuff. But you're right, it's a new flavor that we need to learn as an idea, and I think we can do it. It's not difficult. I mean, even basic stuff, you can have your tomatoes, you can have your parsley, you can have your cilantro, you can have your mint, you know, and a couple more things in your home, literally in pots and stuff. I mean, people do those things, but you know, ultimately it may be not sustainable. It's not a lot, you know, of production. I mean, you can have your own eggs, couple, you know, chickens that are like nice, you know, nicely, you know, browsing around and eating good food, as opposed to, you know, put it in a cage that they don't even see the air, like they don't even move, right? And so there's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, we got hormonal issues in the food. We got all these things that are happening because industries are industries. They got to produce for profits. And I understand the business side of this, but it cannot be on the depends of the health and stuff. But yet it is happening. It's been happening. And only after maybe 4 or 5 decades now we do. And by the way, you were very kind to not to mention the brand about the water. But there's, I'm going to generalize it. I mean, one of the most common ones is soda. You drink soda, it's salty and it's sweet. So you keep drinking, you can go through a liter, 2 liters in without even thinking about it. And you're just like, oh yeah. And especially when it's cold, you're just going to keep gobbling that stuff. And you're still going to feed yourself in the same position. You're still thirsty. And that's just one example. In the food, I mean, we eat it, it's sweet, and then you wind up buying more stuff. You're talking about pretzel at the bar. I mean, you know, that's actually typical to have these things in the bar because you're going to keep drinking, right? You know, so like you said, I mean, you know, it is a fact, folks. Psychiatry and psychology is used day in, day out in marketing. And they use the best of the best of the best because they know how to work. And I love what the analogy of cocaine. And by the way, when I was really pun intended, it is white. It is a drug. You know, they're the same. They look the same, except one is regulated differently than the other. And one is permitted and the other is not. You know, I mean, it is even permitted, but we can talk about that in politics and how it all works. There's a whole trade going on there. So it's a business opportunity as well. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening. And we just have, folks, we're not against anything here. But the idea is you can be better. You can do, you know, things for yourself and your family and maybe share the wealth with others who are willing to. Not everybody is willing to. And again, to your point earlier, you want to have that treatment, or you want to have that actual source problem and figure out and heal it, right? So, and I think that's really the main thing. I mean, yes, we do need the doctors because they have a role, you know, when you get sick. I mean, you're going to get sick somehow for many other reasons. You do need someone to fix that problem. But there are things that are preventable. And if you actually did the right thing, there's very less chance for you to wind up in. You can go for minor stuff, but you're not going to go for the heavy stuff that's really going to destroy your life, your quality of life. That's the other thing, quality of life, because if you're really not doing good, your body sucks, you know, you can't, you know, walk, you can't, you know, sleep well, you can't do anything, you can't even bend down to get your shoes tied. I mean, all this stuff, you can't dress up correctly, you can't walk, you're breathing hard, your heart, I mean, all those things are not quality of life, right? And by the way, someone can say, well, you guys are talking here like, you know, the experts. We're not, folks. We are struggling as well, and we try to do our best, you know, for our own selves, and hopefully share this with you know, people who have, you know, opened their mind to something better. But at the end of the day, it's a choice. And I always keep saying this, you know, in the shows. You are watching or listening, whatever you do. I mean, we are not you. I mean, your body is yours. It's your temple. Do whatever you want with it. But understand that, you know, we're only sharing the wealth of the idea. Your choice. And so that's an important, you know, differentiation that you did. You know, you can go to the source and treat it and never go there. And by the way, that's the other. A lot of people that actually have healed, you know, that's exactly what they did. They traced back what their behavior were, their, you know, behaviors were. They changed their lifestyles. And wow, they all of a sudden, they see, like, a couple of months later, like, whoa, I got this energy. You know, I'm not losing my hair. I could do things I couldn't do like months ago. And I've experienced it personally. There was a period in my life gained so much weight. I couldn't walk. I couldn't climb the stairs. It was heavy breathing. I was tired. You know, I mean, I had no energy. You know, I mean, literally, I was just like sitting, you know, on the couch and watching TV and just munching, right? Bad, bad, bad mojo, bad stuff for you. So I share that. That's a true story for me. Now, you know, I experience it and I know I don't want to go there. And now I'm more like literally like a hook, you know, on it. Like, you know, as soon as I start like slipping, no, you got to do exercise. No, you got to watch what you eat, you know. And we all have a little taste buds here and there. We kind of want to cheat. But now, now let's do this. We talked a lot about the nutrition and the source and how we do stuff and maybe stuff, you know, such as put in your own plans and if you have the opportunity to do more of that. But now let's talk about your style, fasting. Why fasting? How does fasting work? You know, because someone says, well, we talked about all the nutrition, you know, then we don't need to fast. You know, we can just eat good and healthy, right? What's the fuss about fasting, right? You know, so let's deep dive because there's a whole style about that. And, you know, briefly we kind of touch on earlier, but let's go into the deep dive on the fasting format.
Okay. So, you know, a cool transition would be, you mentioned that people might say, well, if I'm eating good, why do I need to fast? What's the benefit? And it's a good question because what happens oftentimes with people when they change their diet and they just say, okay, I've been eating the standard American diet or whatever standard diet you guys have in your area, and you want to transition to something healthier, you will see health benefits. That is going to help. Here's what people miss. Years later, after somebody has changed their diet, they went vegan, they went carnivore, they went whatever, they start having issues. They hit like this plateau or this roadblock. And the reason why is because you cannot. Okay, I want you to think about your temple, your body as a house or a temple, right? If you eat pizza, you have soda and beer, you have cookies, and every time you eat, you don't put the food or the trash in the trash can, you just throw it on the floor. When you get angry, or you have a fight, an argument with somebody, instead of going and decompressing in a healthy way, you punch holes in the wall, right? So you're destroying your home. And then one day, you have a come to Jesus moment. And you're like, you know what? I need to do better. I'm going to start from now on. I'm going to put the food. When I eat my food, I'm going to put the trash in the trash can. I'm going to stop punching holes in the wall. And you stop damaging your home. Well, you never fixed the holes that you put in the wall in the first place. You never cleaned up the floor. The floor is still full of trash. You just made the decision you're not going to do that anymore. But you don't go and you don't clean it up. And so where fasting comes into play is that we're going to go in, we're going to clean up that mess. We're going to do spring cleaning. We're going to change our habits, yes. But we're also going to clean up the damage that we did prior. And so that's really the reason why you want to do, you know, fasting and dietary changes or lifestyle changes. And fasting has many different, there's different ways to do it, different terms. So the basic fast, right, what I would call the original fast is no eating and no drinking for a certain period of time. You're going to predetermine a period of time. It could be sun up to sundown. It could be 24 hours. It could be 48 hours. It could be 72 hours. You're going to pick a predetermined period of time. You're not going to eat or drink. Now, they would call that like soft dry fasting in our modern time. A hard dry fast is where not only do you not eat or drink for that period of time, you don't come in contact with water, which means no showering, no brushing your teeth, you know, none of that, right? So that's a hard dry fast. That is the original or the traditional fast. In modern times, we've made water fasting the more well-accepted fasting method. So even in the terminology, you hear fasting, you hear water fasting. Well, that means you're fasting while supplementing with water, okay? And you could put anything in front of the word fasting, and it'll be fasting, but you're supplementing with that other thing. So water fasting, juice fasting, fruit fasting, right? So you're supplementing with this other thing while just drinking water. So all of these fasting types are all beneficial. They're all a little different. But what we find in our experience when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to how quickly you can reverse disease, dry fasting, whether soft or hard, is about 3 times more efficient than water fasting. And dry fasting is actually more easy for a lot of people to do because your digestive system goes completely to rest when you dry fast. And so you don't get hunger pangs, right? Whereas with water fasting, juice fasting, mono fasting, you're consuming something. So even if you're consuming water, you think, well, Chris, it's water. We are water. Your body's going to absorb it. No, actually, your body doesn't absorb H2O. Your body uses structured water. So you actually get that. You would get that from eating your fruit. And that's H3O2. It's two different chemical compounds. So when you drink water, the body has to convert that water into a structured water so that you can then utilize it and get the benefit of it. So I say all that to say that dry fasting is actually a little easier. However, new fasters, we never start them with dry fasting. We always start with water, juice, or fruit because we want to ease you into it. And we want to build what we call your fasting muscle, right? And there's a lot that comes along with it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of poke around if you want before we move on.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. You know, and by the way, there's a couple of things that you touch on. And one of them is, again, you talk about all those diets. I love the analogy of the house that you destroyed. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm not going to destroy the house. Well, you got to fix what you destroyed first. I mean, I love that. That's great. You know, but, you know, you got to take that to the bank. And that applies to everything in our lives, right? You can't, in relationship, you name it. If you're destroying stuff, you can't just kind of like, okay, we're cool today. You got to fix what you did before and hope, you know, for forgiveness, right? But in the context of fasting, right? You're right. I mean, water fasting, you're still drinking and your body, I mean, the stomach is still operational, right? So it's kind of like working. As you said, when you stop everything, you know, the stomach just kind of cools down, and in time it's not going to be like, you know, all over you, right? You know, and certainly that's another thing, your brain now is kind of like, you know, relaxing as well. There's no more hits in the sugars and all the stuff. There's a lot of stuff, but you're right, it's not you can't just cold turkey in and just like do it. It's gonna be rough, folks. I mean, anyone who's actually tried fasting, you know, at first days, I mean, sometimes you get headaches because, you know, you're gonna have, you know, all these chemical reaction that are depleting from your body, especially depends on the time of, you know, how long you're going to be, right? I mean, I've the longest I've done was maybe like 18 hours. Actually, I think that about 24 hours once. And, you know, it is a long day. You don't think about it, but it does feel, you know, especially in the summertime, you know, it's hot, you know, you got to keep cool. You can't be in too much heat because then you'll really dehydrate quick. And so that's not always good for you. So there's different ways. And again, I'm not the expert here, but you're right. There's diets. This is to go into what you said earlier. There's all these different modalities and diets, right? And diets are not consistent. You can't possibly be dieting all your life. I mean, I have yet to find someone who's been dieting for 30 plus 40 years in one formula. They switch things around. They get tired, you know, and there's all new things. Oh, we're going to try this one. Diet is, it's a cool thing. It helps you. But there's all other things. I mean, there's sleeping, for example. There is exercising. These are other things we can tack in. But really, just the fast in its own, That's really the thing. I mean, as you said, it's the cleansing of the body. And by the way, it has been documented. You fast, you cleanse, period and out. Your body's got, your detoxification is happening. Your body, your liver is taking a chill. You know, it's processing all the stuff that is ugly and it's getting its own little time break. And so it's not, you know, constantly bombarded, boom, boom, boom. And that's a fact, you know, whether it's religion or not religion in terms of fasting, this is a fact of science today, right? And so now we have that. But you're right, the concept of how to get someone through the process, you know, requires some of ease in, and you do that. And the other thing is, when you do fasting, you know, now this is a question for you, Chris. What I've studied, well, at least what I've learned about fasting, is that it does more than just the basic. It actually goes to the cell level. I mean, there's STEM research that is actually touching on this. So can you expand on that? I mean, you know, because there's a lot of talk right now about deep fasting, long fasting, even like in some cures of some illnesses such as cancer and some other heavy stuff, where fasting has been, you know, kind of used as a tool to destroy those cells because you deprive them from all the sugars and the, you know, whatever they eat up, and therefore their cells they don't survive. These cells, kind of like our free radicals as they call them, they don't make it. And so let's expand in that. What is your take on that, you know, in terms of stem cells, you know, activation and healing process and even cure?
Mm-hmm. Great question. And if you want, later on we could talk about a client that I actually recently worked with who was dealing with cancer, and we can kind of talk about that situation. But fasting is this big secret because they don't want you to know that you can actually generate your own stem cells. So by the time you're about 30, 35, your stem cell production reduces by about 40%. So compared to your 12-year-old self, who's bursting with stem cells, energy, you fall, you cut yourself, body repairs, boom, you can do whatever, no problem. By the time, and this is this day and age, right? If we would have looked at this maybe 50 years ago, it'd be different. But right now, we're almost at half of our stem cell production. Then by the time you're about, you know, late 50s, 60s, you're at like 15, 10%. It's very bad. And that's why you see that steep decline in health and, you know, lifestyle as people get older. So what fasting has the ability to do is upregulate your natural stem cell production. And that's very important because, number one, it helps to reduce metabolic age. So now you're, you know, right now, mid 30s, you're really presenting as what we would have looked at as a probably 50-year-old person, not even just 20, 30 years ago, right? In your 30s, you're presenting as a 50-year-old person. And so through fasting, we can help to reverse that metabolic age. So you're going to look younger. Your skin is going to smooth out. Your cognitive function is going to come back. The thinning hair is going to stop. You're going to see all of these benefits. Now, obviously, what you mentioned before is autophagy, where you utilize fasting as a tool to upregulate autophagy. And autophagy is just a process that happens in the body. They call it self-eating, but I don't think that's a great description, because what it actually is doing is it's recycling the cells, the damaged cells, the mutated cells, the dead cells, the waste. It's recycling that, which is really great, because it's not just discarding it and getting rid of it. It's breaking down. It's pulling out what can be reused. It's discarding what's, you know, no good. So it's efficient. And you get, when the longer you fast, so when you talk about like deep fasting, that's really what I promote. Like, I'm not really a big promoter of what they call intermittent fasting, where you would fast for, you know, 16 hours or 18 hours a day. You know, I think those are great tools for maintenance. They're great tools for religious practices. But if you're really sick, you want that deep healing. And what we find is that autophagy upregulates the longer you fast. Now, there is a time frame where you're going to get like the most benefit out of fasting for the least effort. And that is a 3-day fast. You do a 3-day water fast, it's kind of the sweet spot where you're going to get the most benefit for the least amount of input. But if you fast for, let's say, 2 weeks, let's say you do a 2-week water fast, which for some of you all, if you've never fasted, you never heard it, that sounds crazy, but people do it all the time. A process starts where I call it hyperautophagy. Now, this is just, here's the beautiful thing about my journey. I have learned so much from practicing fasting, studying literally thousands of people from my community, working with hundreds of people personally. I've learned, I'm a scientist. And what I've seen is that from day 14 to day 21, hyperautophagy kicks in, which means you get this amazing shrinking and tightening of the skin. So like, one of the problems people have is they've got 100 pounds to lose. They use traditional methods. Now they've got 20 to 40 pounds of loose skin, which is unsightly. People are self-conscious about it. It's a big problem. And when I tell you there's virtually no one out there talking about how to lose 100 pounds in less than 6 months with no loose skin, that's not a thing, right? So when I very first started learning about long-term fasting, I realized hyperautophagy happens on day 14 and it extends to day 21 where the body shrinks and tightens. One of my brothers, on one of the first long-term fasts we did, he lost four, I can't remember the exact amount, but it was 4 to 6 inches in 1 day. Off his waist. 1 day. That's how powerful it is. So once I learned about how the body functions, I started utilizing that as a tool and saying, hey, you want to lose 100 pounds in less than 6 months? Utilize fasting, and you need to do it this specific way. And if you do, you get these incredible outcomes. So another great tool, and see, this one is important to understand because people think, okay, Chris, I'm doing this long fasting. What about my muscle, right? The body's going to eat the muscle. Well, no, it's not. And the reason why is because at just 48 hours of fasting, your human growth hormone upregulates to nearly 2,000% what it typically would produce. So the HGH hormone is going to protect your muscle. It's going to protect your lean mass, and that's not all it does. So when we talk about healing, restoration, you got autophagy, you've got human growth hormone, you've got stem cell production. So now you've got accelerated wound healing. You've got repair of systems that mainstream methods will tell you cannot repair this. Well, no, you can't repair it with a pill. Or you can't repair it with a surgery. But if you give the body the resources and the space it needs, it can repair the damage. It can reduce tumors. It can reduce cysts. It can reduce polyps, right? And so you have this amazing chemical cocktail that the body creates to help you repair very rapidly. And so that's some of the science behind fasting.
Well, you listen, I mean, it's pretty interesting and really amazing. I mean, just to hear you talk about it and how it operates. But you're right. I mean, there's all these excitements that are happening in your cell level, right? You know, and cellular level is really where it's all happening, right? The system is just rebooting itself. And that's the other thing. Like, many people sometimes don't realize that. Your body takes enough. You know, I had one time an autoimmune system specialist, and he did say this very clearly. The human body can rectify itself. If you give it the right conditions, the right time, it will take care of itself. It's designed to do that. The problem is we're bombarding this body every day from left and right and stuff, and we don't give it a minute to actually kind of pause and relax. And even when we do it the wrong way. So it's not enough to actually catch up. I mean, it's always working overtime. You know, if we give it the time to reset and reboost, you know, and reboot, you know, everything else can line up. Now, someone says, well, Hurricane, why don't you try it yourself? Well, listen, I mean, I can try it, and I've been trying a lot of things. And frankly, I am looking at more and more options to keep, you know, this going right, you know, at the right direction. Now, someone says, well, you know what? I'm going to go on my own time the way I want it. Of course, folks, again, let's remember this. Everybody's free to do whatever they want. But I can tell you this by experience. I have seen, and I see my parents, my mom, for example, going through her older age. It is very difficult to see someone that you love, for example, going through real hardship, you know, in their own vitality, right? Mm-hmm. And really depleting and not being as you know alive as they should be, right? In terms of their dynamics. And, you know, it's not a picture you want to see, folks, or an experience, right? So this is just a personal, you know, touch that, you know what? You want to live the best and the healthiest and the most vital life until the end. And yes, we will end. And you know what? It's okay. But you do not want to be in pain and suffering for the 20 or 30 years that you have left in this world. I mean, if you're aging, right? You know, and or even 50. I mean, you get started early with diabetes, it's going to destroy your body. And even those things can be. Some people say you can't reverse diabetes. I've heard and I've learned that there are cases where people have been able to reverse all that, you know, to almost nothing. You're talking about, you know, and I would love for you actually to share, you know, the idea of your customer who actually has been dealing with cancer and, you know, started the fasting. And as a matter of fact, I will quote Dr. Berg. I mean, if anybody is out there on social media, you probably know Dr. Berg. He's big with nutrition. One time he did say that I think he claimed that if he ever, you know, had cancer, he will keep fasting longer, 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 and then, you know, cut and then fasting again, just to really deprive any of the cells from whatever nutrients, and the body will just destroy, as you said. We'll take everything that is not, you know, necessary in that body and dump it. And yes, we will develop these cells, and we give the body the right, you know, momentum. They'll take care of them and they'll destroy them. But if not, we'll just give them the environment to thrive. We give them the sugars. We give them all the bad habits. They'll just be like, hey, we're in heaven. We're in a party time here. So let's do some some damage, right? We don't want that, folks. So yeah, please, Chris, let's share your story, the story of your customer or client who actually has been dealing with this, and where that is taken or has it taken.
Mm-hmm. So maybe about 2 months ago, I think it was like the end of January, I had a call. Well, yeah, I had a call from a guy who had been following my channel for years, actually. He found me back in 2021 or 2020 and had started doing some intermittent fasting, but he did what we refer to as abuse fasting. So one of the things people start to do naturally when they find out about how powerful fasting is, they're like, all right, forget what you're talking about as it relates to health and nutrition, like nutrition and lifestyle change. I don't need to do that. I could just fast. You know, and it's kind of the reverse of what we were talking about before with the body being your home and trashing the house and cleaning. It's the reverse. So instead of you trashing the house and not cleaning it up, all you do is just constantly clean. You trash and you clean. And so you might eat fast food, but then you fast and that's like gonna balance it out. But what happens is we always tend to do more bad than good when we take that approach. So it will catch up to you. And that's exactly what happened here. So he had just got a cancer diagnosis. And I'm going to say this too, because I have a lot of people that come to me dealing with cancer. Everybody who I've talked to who's dealing with cancer, they always have a rare cancer. It's always very aggressive. We're talking stage 4 or something like that. There's always this rush that they got to do something. They only have, you know, a few months to live, that type of energy. And I need you guys to understand that what I'm about to say, it applies to all cancer, not because it's a cure-all. I don't believe in that. It's because we're giving the body resources for the body to deal with the cancer, to deal with the disease. Your body is self-regulating. And so we started him on, the first thing we did was, he was already fasting when he called me, right? And so I was like, okay, I gave him a couple of tools to help him, because whenever you start fasting, I always recommend doing a preparation first. But he was very motivated. He was like, I'm starting today. And he had started before he called me. So I gave him some tools to help him. One of the tools was a caster pack. If you guys aren't familiar with caster packs, it's a super simple tool. It's just a cloth that you put over your liver. You get hexane-free castor oil. You're going to find it in a glass jar. If it's in plastic, do not use it. You put it on the pad, the cloth. You sleep with the cloth over your liver. That's going to help to clean the liver out. That's going to make sure that you have a better fasting experience, because when you fast, you detox heavy, especially if you have cancer or something like that. There's a lot of toxins in your system that the body's going to try to push out very quickly. You really want to create a gradient, okay? So I don't recommend just jumping out and doing it. I understand why he did it. All right, so then he actually ended up fasting for, I think, 46 days the first time. And he was doing water. He was doing pure water. He was doing about a gallon of water a day. I'll also mention that this guy was in his upper 390s. Like he was a heavy guy. And towards the end of the fast, as we started getting like day after day 30, we started doing some other things, a little infused water where you would take like some fruits, cucumbers, mint leaves, whatever, cold steep it in your water for about 4 hours, drink that. He did, we have a method we teach where you take a grain of Celtic sea salt or some high quality complete mineral salt. It needs to have magnesium in it. You take that under the tongue, you let it dissolve, you drink your water. That will pull the water into your cells. So we did some little techniques to help keep him going, keep his energy levels high. But he ended up losing, I think he lost 75 pounds in that first fast 46 days. And then when he started eating, we do a very mindful refeed, okay? You cannot fast for that period of time without preparation and then eat whatever you want. You will hurt yourself. So we start him off on high water content fruits and vegetables. This is what I told you earlier. That's the natural food. We didn't worry about sugar content. We didn't worry about, you know, all the carbs and all. High water content fruits and vegetables. That was the key. Now, if you want to push it to another level and say, well, I'm not going to eat the high sugar fruit, that's fine. You could do low glycemic fruit, but the high water content is the key. That's going to hydrate you. It's going to allow the body to continue to move those chemicals and contaminants out of your system gracefully. And then we also eliminated, as we took him off of that the first fast and that refeed, we eliminated processed foods. You cannot have cancer and eat processed foods. It's interesting because when you go to the hospital, they'll tell you you can eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter. That is not true. You can eat whatever you want. However, there's a cost you pay for that. So we took processed foods off the table. We got rid of refined sugars. We were talking about sugar earlier, right? We took that off the table. I also had him get rid of dairy. Dairy was absolutely out the door. It's very mucus forming. And the dairy we consume in modern times is not what our grandfathers and our grandmothers ate. It's not even what they have in different countries, because the processing that happens to our dairy products here is insane. Okay. It is a highly processed food. And then I told him, I said, look, meat is your choice, whether you want to do meat or not. If you're going to eat meat, you need to make sure it's high quality, local sourced, and then keep your portion size low. He decided not to do the meat, so he didn't do the meat. But, you know, for those, some people do want to do the meat, you know, you need to source it really well. Don't eat a ton of it. We did that. Now, the next thing, he was like, Chris, I'm ready to do another fast. Because from that first fast, he saw incredible results. Weight loss, the tumor. So he's got cancer. He's got a tumor that shows outwardly. It's on his body. It's outwardly showing. And it has stopped growing. So he was excited because he was like, it's been rapidly growing. It stopped growing. And I will say this to y'all. One of the things I told him was, hey, through this process, things will likely seem to get worse before they get better, right? And we talked regularly, and he had plenty of scares where he thought things were getting worse. So I do want to put that out there. It's important to understand the body may present as if it's getting worse because you're pushing the toxins out, okay? With that being said, he went back into another fast, and this time I think he ended up doing 18 days, all right? He ended up losing a total of 100 pounds in 75 days. The cancer tumor started to shrink up and shrivel up and break off. We actually got his blood tested maybe about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We talked about it. No, there's no cancer markers in his blood. The last nail in the coffin for him is really getting a scan, a CT scan or some deeper scan to verify like what the cancer is actually doing. But his primary care physician loves it. He's like, I don't know what you're doing. Keep doing it. You've lost 100 pounds in 75 days. Everything looks to be progressing in the right direction. But, you know, they're very cautious about saying anything like you've reversed. They're not going to say that. So right now he's actually getting a CT scan on Thursday. And we'll kind of have the final result, but his energy levels are high. His skin looks amazing. But the biggest thing is his level of hope and his outlook on life. But when he came to me, he was a shell of himself. He was very nervous about what the quality of life would look like. They wanted to do a very, very invasive surgery that would to completely change his life. I'm not going to tell the details, but all I can say is it was going to completely change his life forever. And maybe it wouldn't for him. He says, Chris, I don't know if I would want to live after having this surgery done. And so his outlook on life has completely changed. He sees future. He has a wife. He wants to have a family. There's all these things now that are back on the table for him. And I think that's the most amazing thing. It's hope.
Well, I mean, hope is a big thing, right? But surely it's very dangerous and great at the same time, right? You know, when depends on the angle you look at it. But hope is something we want to have, and certainly we're trying to, you know, give the message of hope to people that there is a way to reset your body. There is a way to get you to the next level, to re-energize, to reboost yourself. Great example. And by the way, I've heard many stories about this. And by the way, anyone watching or listening, you don't have to take it from us. You can really do your own research, and the cases are plenty out there to present the same, you know, outcomes that you're talking about. Now, I know there are people that are, you know, critics out there, like, oh, you know, Chris, you know, you're saying all this stuff, but, you know, there's side effects to this stuff. Or, you know, if people don't eat or they don't drink, they're going to have depletion of minerals and things in their body, you know, so can you just address those folks, you know, just because I know there's, you do have the response for that, but certainly, you know, there's always someone that's going to be skeptical and say like, you know what, why, you know, how do you treat this and deal with this and the other? And by the way, when you said it could go down before it gets better, well, here's the thing. If you go to a course of chemo or any of the radiation therapy, it's just going to be worse, right? I mean, it's going to be bad anyways. So one is at least not doing, you know, damage to your regular cells. It's actually reboosting every cell in your body. One is doing, you know, maybe curing some and destroying the rest, you know? So it's, you got to pick your poison, as they say, right? One is better than the other. So you got to choose, right? Again, by the way, this is all about making an informed decision based on knowledge and, you know, skills and facts and really that data, right? Science. So what would you sell to those, to those critics? I mean, because, you know, I mean, maybe someone that's in the medical space and says, you know what? Because, I mean, we have experts in oncology, right? And they have their own way. And by the way, there are treatments for cancer, but it depends on the type. There's a price to pay. Obviously, there's a cost. Can you afford it? Can you not afford it? You know, many people can't afford a treatment, right? You know, this is probably the easiest way to afford a treatment because you're stopping eating, you're eating less. So you're not even costing you much. It's just your health. So there's ways to look at this. And God forbid, you know, I mean, listen, we don't wish that on anyone. But at the same time, you know, it can happen. It is happening. We have an incidence of cancer that is skyrocketing, you know, in today's, you know, mix. I mean, as you said, 50 years ago to now, it's just crazy how the numbers are in younger ages. Without cancer, with fatty liver, we're seeing that in kids now. That was only for alcoholic, you know, liver, right? We changed, you know, the dynamics on how things are happening in this particular, you know, time space that we live in right now. So we've done a lot of damage to ourselves. So, Chris, what do you say to those folks that may be critical to what you just stated?
Well, you know, I think number one, good, be critical, right? Here's the thing, don't be critical and then just assume you know better. If you're going to be critical, whether you're a medical professional or you're just a layman, if you're going to be critical, be a scientist, do research. And don't, here's the thing, a lot of people, when they do research, it's like, oh, I'm just going to go on Google and I'll just type in, does fasting work right to reverse cancer or whatever you might search. That's not research, y'all. Google is not a source that you can utilize for, it's kind of like, it's more of like entertainment. It's more of like educational entertainment purposes, but it's not a valid source. Okay. So you have to talk to people who have done it. You have to interact with people. There's so many books where people have just written about their experience. And then also look at the opposing views, look at the opposing viewpoints, look at the opposing science. Science, there's no consensus in true science. There's always going to be a debate. As a matter of fact, true scientists have an idea, they have a theory, and then their goal is actually to disprove their own theory through the scientific method. We don't do science like that right now. The way we do science is I have a theory and I'm going to use all my methods and all my knowledge to try to prove my theory. That is not what science is. So you have to be critical. You have to have a critical mind on both sides. Not just because I'm saying something that you think is wrong or non-traditional, you have to criticize both sides. And if you do that with an open mind, you will find things you cannot rectify. So for example, you mentioned chemo, right? When we think about traditional chemo, this is a 65, 70 year old practice that has virtually been unchanged. We are radiating the body or an area of the body with the hopes that we're going to kill the bad stuff before we kill the good stuff. There's no different from, you know, imagine you're in a forest, right? And the forest is on fire, okay? But around you is a circle of wolves. And your theory is that I hope that the fire kills the wolves before the wolves kill me. That's a terrible game plan, okay? But that's what we do. Love it. What industry do you know right now where for 60 years there's no real innovation? We're still using the same methods. It doesn't exist anywhere except in our mainstream medical practices. So we have an outdated method that we use. And I know medical professionals will argue, no, there's been plenty of innovation. I'm not saying that it's been completely unchanged, but I'm saying the fundamental of it is really the same, right? And so you mentioned the side effects. Everyone that I've spoken to that has gone on traditional chemotherapy, they say, I really don't feel good. I was feeling better before I went on it, and they don't get better. Well, what are the side effects of utilizing something like fasting or dietary strategy? Well, it's inconvenient because you have to get out of your comfort zone. You're used to eating pizza on Friday. You're used to getting a half gallon of ice cream every week when you go grocery shopping. You're used to being able to stop at McDonald's or wherever to grab a quick bite to eat. So it's very inconvenient to now say, well, I can only eat at home. I have to eat fresh vegetables. I have to cook everything from scratch. That's all very inconvenient. It's also very inconvenient the body has to adjust to, you know, digesting high water content foods. There's going to be a period of time where you don't feel sated, right? There's a social inconvenience because now when you go out with your friends and family, maybe you can't drink tonight, or maybe you can't eat the birthday cake and they're like, hey man, celebrate with us. So there's a social inconvenience, but you know what? When I think about the side effects of doing it this way, like those side effects are minuscule compared to the side effects you'll experience going the traditional route. And then of course, there's and I know numbers get manipulated a lot. They say men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. But the reality is if you study statistics, you understand that numbers are very easily manipulated. I mean, big tobacco, remember back in was like the 90s when big tobacco had all of this science showing you that smoking was not only not bad for you, but it was actually good. There was science. They were presenting science to say smoking was good. They were presenting science in the 70s saying that it was okay for pregnant women to smoke. And then we learned that the science was wrong, right? Or the science had changed later on. No, the science was always the science. But just like men lie and women lie, numbers can be manipulated. So you have to dig into the science. Who's funding the science, right? Like, who verified this science? You can't take all science as equal. It's not all created equal. So when we weigh the pros and cons of both methods, we have one method that will often change your life forever and probably never give you true healing because that's not what they're designed to do. Remember, we're just about treating symptoms. So you see a lot of people, they get some type of remission, but then it comes back. And oftentimes it comes back more aggressive. I'll tell you something else too. Part of the process that they use to even verify that you have cancer, it actually disrupts the body's natural protection mechanisms that it creates, and it will cause it to spread. So, my grandmother, when I was much younger, she told me that, you know, Chris, when they try to cut a tumor out, they're disrupting the body's natural process. See, when you have a tumor, inside that tumor, which is why they have to poke inside, that's where all the cancerous cells are. That's where all the mutated stuff is. But surrounding that is a quarantine of healthy cells. So the body takes all the bad cells, it puts it in quarantine, and it enshrouds it in healthy cells and encapsulates it and protects the body from those cells, right? That's great. That's smart. Now, you keep eating the toxic stuff. You keep contaminating your body, so it keeps growing, right? You put more trash in, the body puts it in the waste, the landfill. When you poke it with a needle so you can get your biopsy done, you open it up. And now all that those toxic cells leach out, and now you see it spread, right? And that's what happens oftentimes. But when you go to the root cause, so you say, okay, instead of poking it and zapping it with lasers, I'm going to say, well, let me stop putting the toxic stuff in my body in the first place. Well, they tell you that cancer eats sugar. Okay, so if it feeds off of sugar, maybe we should stop putting sugar. And when we say sugar, we're talking about the processed, refined, granulated sugar. Maybe we should stop putting that in our body, right? We quote unquote starve cancer. But what's actually happening is cancer is actually helping prolong your standard, your quality of life, and your longevity. The body is using cancer as a defense mechanism to your poor habits. If you did not develop the cancer, you would actually expire much more quickly. You would experience much more rapid disease and decline in the body. So the body is using cancer to eat up all of the toxic stuff you're putting in your system. And then when you stop feeding it, it naturally dies. It naturally goes away. And so it's not so crazy to understand how the body works. The body's very simple, right? But ultimately, anybody who says, Chris, you don't know what you're talking about. This, that, and the other. Yes, because you've only studied one side of the, you've never looked at truly holistic approaches, okay? And if we did, we would see there's a whole world out there that is undiscovered. There's people, I would say more hidden than anything else.
Well, you know, luckily, more now than ever, we have people such as yourself and networks and, you know, in the social media, we see a lot more presence of holistic, you know, traditional medicine, a hybrid, you know, approach to everything, nutrition facts and things like that, that we did not have before. And because, you know, for a long time, the media was, you know, what we know as media, and information was limited to what you can get, you know, and how you can get it and from who you can get it. Now we have a lot more, you know, some people say, well, we have, everybody's an expert. Well, not really. I mean, you know, you are an expert in what you do because you've done the work and you're doing it, and you have, you know, you can back it with your own data and stuff like that. And as you said, people, do your own due diligence. Nobody is forcing you on any information. Get all the information that you need and figure out for yourself what works. And you said, like, I love what you said. Google is just an engine of information. So it's what you do and how you go with about the information, where deep, how deep dive you go into that information, and which source, and, you know, do you combine all of that, you know, doing a full analysis. To your point, numbers can also be skewed. Listen, I'm in the sales, you know, and any graph can actually go up and down, depends on how you want to present it. You can tell, you can make any kind of statistical approach, you know, to data that you want to actually present, right? You know, good or bad, you can suppress certain things, you know, to can make it, you know, look good, whatever. There's so many things, so many factors that can be, and people are good with numbers, you know, out there. And there's statisticians, there are, you know, like accountants, you know, and people that are finance, you know, savvy, that can do all kind of stuff. But anyways, this is the fact of reality we live in. You know, your approach is definitely making a difference. You're changing things, and you are using something that is pretty natural, easy to use. Yes, it's not, you know, obviously the longer you do this, it's going to be difficult. It's someone who's lived 40, 50 years and never had a fasting, and they're just going to start into this journey. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but that's everything else. Like if you go to the gym, you think it's going to be easy? You know, You haven't worked out, you know, then you're alive and you're just going to go hit the machines, and you're going to think like, oh, cool. You're going to be in pain for days, you know? So it's the same thing. And that goes for everything. You know, it's just a practical, you know, piece of things that you have to actually go through the process. But certainly, you know, you look at the pros and cons of both sides, you know, this is a much easier option than the other, right? Easier on cost, easier on the outcomes, easier on the body, you know, maybe not as easy, but it is, right, in a way. So you do that. So that's what you guys have to do, folks. Now, Chris, I know you do the work. So what do you do specifically with customers? Are you available to customers and clients all over the world or specifically in the US? How can they reach out to you, and what program do you have to offer?
Okay, so we have an entire suite of options available, okay? Starting from completely free, because when I very first developed my brand, I wanted to make sure that people had access to this. I think that health is a basic fundamental right as a human being. We should be able to be healthy, right? So you guys can go to my YouTube channel, A Healthy Alternative, where I give out tons, I mean, I'm in year 8. I'm going on year 9 of giving out information for free through YouTube. I also have a community. It's called AHA Community. So you put in www.ahacommunities.com. And it's a free membership area that you can come and learn and fellowship with other people, like-minded individuals who are on their own wellness journey. So when it comes to, like I mentioned earlier, You want primary sources, right? So if you're going to do your due diligence to learn what works and what doesn't work, talk to the people that are doing it so that you can hear their story, and that's available. Now, we also offer consultations, right? So if you wanted to, you know, consult with me and do a deep dive into what it is you have going on. People like to get into specifics, like, okay, Chris, I know you said XYZ, but what about this? This is what's happening to me. So if you want a plan or a strategy, I have that available on my website. You just go to healthyalternative.org, and then you just go to the work with us section. I've got a couple of other coaches there available with different packages available. If you guys want to do, like, you know, maybe over the course of 30 days or a couple of months, you want to work with somebody, that's available. But one of the really unique things that we do, which I don't think anybody else is out here doing it at the scale we do it, we do fasting challenges. It's one of our premier programs. And for a small registration fee, you come and you get a full PDF guide. You learn about what the fast entails, what to eat, right? We do live coaching. It's an incredible experience. But I tell people, the best part about it is doing it with the literal hundreds of other people. Whenever we have these challenges, there's hundreds of other people in these challenges. And it's like you feel at home. You're not alone. You're not crazy. And so they're the sixth man of the year. And we actually host these challenges fairly regularly, every couple of months. So if you guys get into our ecosystem, you'll see. We'll post about it. We'll have the next challenge coming up. And I change and I alter the challenges as I learn more. So the challenges actually get better with time. Now, if you guys want to tap in with us, you can actually find me on Instagram. You just go to a healthy alternative. It's a.healthy.alternative on Instagram, and send me a DM. And you know what? I'll say this. I've been inspired by this conversation. Hurricane, you're an incredible guy. I really appreciate what you're doing and how you share knowledge and wisdom with your audience. And I want to make sure that people have access to a tool that they could use if they want to explore fasting. So if you guys come to my Instagram and you just put just send me a DM and put Hurricane. Just send me a DM that says Hurricane, and I'll know that you're from this call. And what I'll do is I will send you my 7-day prep guide. And then that way, you, if you want to start it on your own, you could do it in the best way possible, because most people do not prep when they start fasting. And that's what makes the transition so difficult. So I would love to share that with your audience and hopefully help you guys.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, kind words as well as, you know, great gesture. And, you know, people, hey, you know, take the advantage of this. You know, if you, you know, see that, you know, DM, get it, you know, get a guide. I mean, it's going to help you and determine and see if this is going to work for you. I mean, I think it could work for anyone out there. Now, I just one last thing, because I know people sometimes, you know, we hear this all the time. You know, don't start any regimen of anything without consulting with your primary doctor. You know, I mean, you're not opposed to that. People will have to make that decision on their own. I'm assuming that's what people have to do, right? So it's no big deal. People decide on their own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, let me make something very clear. I'm not a doctor, right? So I'm a wellness practitioner. They're not the same thing. It's very important that people understand that. Doctors go to school for, you know, 7 years, 8 years, whatever the case may be, and they look at the body differently. So if you have an issue with your brain, you're going to go to a doctor that deals with the brain. If you have an issue with your lungs, your feet, your butt, you know what I mean? It's every doctor has their different field. And I think earlier we talked about the nutritional aspect of things. You would need to go to a nutritionist to get that type of information. I approach things holistically. I believe that the body is a organism that works synergistically. If you have a problem with your brain, it could be easily connected to an issue in your gut or in your bowels, right? And so we approach wellness completely different. But obviously, we do not prescribe, okay? So if you're on different medications, you have to consult with your doctor, because that's once again, it goes back to the lawyer versus the mechanic thing. Those are two different. Don't come to me about prescriptions. Don't come to me about any of that stuff. Go consult your primary care physician. And look, I'm gonna tell you this as well. if you ask them, hey, I heard about this guy, Chris James, he's talking about fasting. What do you think? They probably either have not heard of fasting or have not done research on fasting. So it's important to understand that you can talk to them about your medical, the drugs and everything that you're taking, those therapies over there. But you also have to consult wellness practitioners about wellness, therapies. So you just need to understand who to talk to about what, consult your doctor before doing anything. And I think that anybody who's looking to pursue health and wellness, you will see truth through your pursuit of knowledge. You will see truth. You will feel truth. And you just go whichever way truth draws you.
Well, thank you. I really thank you. I appreciate your response there. I mean, the fact that folks is very simple, right? You can go to the doctor and, you know, they might not know more about the fasting concept because they haven't really been involved into it. It's not a practice that they've used. So they may not give you, I mean, they might give you something about like, well, if you deplete this, you need some minerals, whatever. They might give you some guidance that way. But again, none of us are experts on the medical side here. We're more on just bringing the information and the resource. So you do your due diligence, folks. But if you think that there is a benefit to you, you know, and you know that this is going to work for you because it can, you know, you should give it the full potential of it. And I think that's really it. We all owe it to ourselves to take whatever is necessary steps to get better. And then I love what you said. The mind is connected with the gut. As a matter of fact, the more we study today, the gut is where it's happening. That's where the action is. Your microbiome, your cell level is where everything is happening. So your engines are there. And so if the gut is healthy, the rest might be just doing well. So keep that, take it to the bank. And again, do your own thing, folks. But again, information is available. And if you're not sure, ask. Do please check out the website. Go check out the YouTube channel. Get on the Instagram with Chris. Find out. That's one thing, folks, that is amazing. It is not expensive to actually find information and get the resources. Then you decide you want to pursue a service or whatever, you know, go for it. I mean, I love what you said. The challenges are available. It's a community. You know, everybody loves a good challenge. Hit the challenge. If you think you need it, go for it. I mean, I think we all can use, you know, a little challenge in our lives, you know, especially if one that's going to turn us to healthier, better, you know, and reset ourselves to better life and the lifestyle and energy. Why not? All right. Well, listen, I know we've exceeded our hour, Chris. It's been real. It's a great conversation. Just a few words that, you know, wisdom that I always ask at the end of the show to leave our audiences with. What would those be?
I am a true believer in health is wealth. We will spend money. We will spend time and resources on things that aren't really benefiting us. They might be momentary. It might feel good. It might be a Band-Aid. Might be the easy way out. We'll spend lots of money and time and resources and tension on that. And I think that it's a question of what is it that you want? You have to ask yourself that question. Do you want a long-lasting health full of vigor and longevity? Do you want to be able to play with your grandchildren? Or do you want to, you know, kind of lean on traditional knowledge, which might be a pill? It might make your life a little bit easier for a while. But then you have to always worry about what could potentially be around the corner. It's two different directions. And I'm going to tell you guys, you cannot serve two masters. You want to choose one, you're going to go to the left or you're going to go to the right. If you try to straddle that line down the middle, you're not going to get the outcomes that you want. And so figure out what you want. And if it's health, if it's wellness, if it's longevity, and it's all the things we talked about today, dive in, learn, research, be intentional. You know, people say keep that same energy. The same energy that you will put into what you think is the traditional method that works or whatever the case may be, put that into the holistic approach. And I think that you'll find that the outcomes are far, far superior. That is just my opinion. But I appreciate you for having me on. And I definitely hope that the conversation was a blessing to those listening.
Oh, it definitely is. I can even vouch for that. I mean, you can't go wrong with what we've covered today. You've given all good positive stuff. And really, I mean, you facts is facts, right? I mean, you give the facts and, you know, as a resource is available to people, you and team. And, you know, people have to do their due diligence. So that's it, folks. You know, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground here. Fasting is the real thing. It's been around for centuries. This is a different level of it, you know, deep dive with science attached to it. It is available to anyone. you know, why not try, you know, and see for yourself. By the way, I can say this, you try one day, not even, just do the small minimum one, and you're going to see a difference right there. And then you'd be like, God damn, this is like, that's a real drug. You know, I mean, really, that's a joke, but really a real thing. I mean, if you try one day, you know, it's going to go by fast, and you're going to feel some level like, you know, where I get all this energy from. And you'd be like, this is the real thing. And you know what to do from there. So again, but I think you have those capabilities as a service, you know, where you can help people just lean into it, ease into it, you know, slowly and get a sweet taste. It's like an appetizer of what it really tastes. And we like something good. I mean, by the way, drugs start like that with one taste. Oh, it tastes good. Yeah. And then the rest is history. You get this and maybe you get a sweet tooth here and then forget about it. Chris, thank you so much for being with us, man. It's been a pleasure, dude.
My pleasure.
Thank you, thank you. All right, folks, that's a wrap for today. I'm Hurricane H. Hope you enjoyed our show. We'll be talking soon. Your daily show topic. Bye for now.